This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Blue Wire.
It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton. Some rhythm.
And he got it! Young Ball continues to wear him out!
Do you know what the Cavs fans are calling the Darius Garland, Colin Sexton backcourt?
What?
Sexland.
Oh, that's good.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. With me today is my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well, Justin. We are a week and 2 days away from the lottery. I am wildly excited. I'm wildly nervous. felt like it really snuck up on us. I think now is as good a time as ever to tell folks that we are going to be live during the draft lottery, just like last year on Periscope, hoping to have some fun bells and whistles for the video stream. And you can watch us react in real time, as it'll be the first time that you'll ever see two people devastated that their team won the lottery.
You know what? I think fatherhood is creeping through for you once again here, Carter, because the lottery did not sneak up on me. I have been looking at the calendar every single day, even though it doesn't change. I always know that I guess technically it did change. It moved up, but I know it's going to be next Thursday, and I'm super excited. Maybe it's just a way of coping. I'm not as invested in where it ends up. Like, I don't think there's going to be any result that
it's
kind of,
we don't want the top pick, Justin.
I know it's not going to throw me off the deep end, even if we do have it. You know what? We've both kind of admitted and owned up to the draft not being our strong suit in the past. And the level of like wound up I've got about certain prospects based on all the research I've done on them and stuff like that, only to have those projections kind of go down the toilet shortly after, it's kind of making me reevaluate this whole process. Because the biggest thing with the Cavs is that their player development, no matter who they have, is kind of the number one priority. And that's something that's actually been pretty good recently. So I'm going to be a little less extreme in my reactions, because it does seem like people go a little overboard with absolutely everything these days. And maybe I got to tone it down. I'm doing some self-reflection here. How do you feel about that?
I think it's nice to tell ourselves that, Justin.
I'm great at lying to myself, Carter. It's a big
God,
part of what
God,
I do.
Aren't we both? I don't know, man. I think it's going to be fun. I think we're going to, I think getting caught up. I got to say, I am like pre-irritated with people complaining that the Cavs won another lotto.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, in this draft.
Oh, it's, you know what? That's actually the part that has me concerned that this is going to be another year where we win first overall, because we always get first overall with the exception of LeBron and Kyrie, which, yes, those were great years to get it. We always get in shit drafts. And this would be the perfect, this will be the one where we jump up to one from two, I guess. And then the following year, we're going to compete. We're going to be fun, but still bad. Maybe have six best lotto odds and fall to 10th in a real difference maker of a draft. Because that just seems to be the way things are with the Cavs. And you know what? I'm ready for the insanity of it. Do you have a preferred landing spot? Because I've actually talked myself into basically anything but one. So I'm giving myself an 86% chance of being happy.
Yeah, I think that ultimately, looking at the mocks, what you don't want is like, I don't know, is it one that starts that scares you?
Because I'm pretty sure Ball's going number one. And even though I do think he is going to be a good NBA player, I've said this before, I just am very skeptical of the Cavs' ability to develop him in the right way. Maybe it's attractive from a trade down standpoint, and that's something that could be on the table. Maybe he could actually work out with some of the guards that they have. But I'm personally not very comfortable with it. And for that reason, I want to avoid any possibility of it. It's just not a reality that I want to be a part of.
Yeah, the two dudes I don't want to touch are Edwards and Ball right now.
Yeah, so that's my list.
So I'm pretty confident I can talk myself into Edwards.
I mean, he's jacked. Like, he's got a big frame. Like, that's basically what he's got going for him. Did you read Sam Vecenie's kind of profile there, where he was talking to a lot of GMs and scouts about Edwards?
No.
Okay, so the highlight was basically he's insanely talented, one of the more talented guards we've seen. We just aren't convinced that what he does offensively or defensively can fit into an NBA team. And,
oh, good.
Yeah, and I'm like, and awesome. It was basically saying what I've said, which is he was bad at everything, didn't do anything at a high level, but it's basically that he looks like an NBA player. And we have seen guys like that work out, I suppose, but there just isn't enough of a precedent. And for me, the thing that we've talked about before is I just don't think, because there isn't a potential cornerstone guy, I don't think you have to swing for a home run here, because there's not really a home run to be had. I think there's a lot of really, really quality players here that are going to be able to help out a lot of teams, including the Cavs. Drafting a guy at a position, the only position where we're stocked up with young talent.
Well, I think point guard is the one thing. The small guards are more persona non grata for me. Mm-hmm. And luckily, there aren't really that many small guards in this draft. Like, even the point guards are 6'5", 6'7".
Right.
And can play. Like, it's really, like, honestly, is you kind of want to avoid, like, making it where Sexland is the only lineup archetype you can play. So, like, Edwards I'm less worried about. I mean, if he's as tall as Anthony Edwards is listed as being, then...
Yeah.
If Edwards is as tall as KPJ is listed as being, then, you know, that's kind of not that bad. You know, I don't know. That doesn't, you know, rub me the wrong way nearly as much.
Now, you might not be the best person to ask this question to, but you're the person that I have to talk to you about this, so I'm going to make the best of a bad situation. With Wiseman, am I an absolute insane person for the way that Aiden has developed to give me hope about Wiseman? Because he had a lot of kind of the same criticisms on defense of, okay, I don't know if he has the mobility to become a plus defender. He gets the blocks and things like that. Wiseman is obviously not as good of a prospect as Aiden. Certainly isn't as polished on the offensive end. But when you look at just kind of how athletic he is and just the measurables and all the stuff that kind of makes you fawn over him, it still has me excited. Like, yeah, I've talked myself into Wiseman, and I know that this might be a recipe for disaster, but in this draft, I think that's as good of a bet as any, because my God, what he can do is pretty damn fun.
Bro, I've kind of always been leaning towards, like, the skepticism is a little too much. Like, he's just so enormous and so fluid as a mover that it just seems like near impossible that he's gonna not be able to play at all. Like, feels like, I don't know if anyone's made this comp yet or if it's fair, but he almost feels like his floor is like what JaVale was at highest stock. He was a guy who actually got paid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we knew that that was wrong, but that does feel like his floor, like being a insane shot blocker, rangy athlete. But like, you know, like you see the workout videos of him really working his handle, and like on one hand that makes you feel good. On one hand it's like, ooh, do you think you're KG? You know, I think that stuff is gonna linger, but like ultimately I don't really foresee a world in which this dude just like absolutely sucks. Like, and like kind of, and I keep going back to the idea that, and the biggest reason I'm in on him is like there's a bit of insulation from making another mistake, which hypothetically could be, you know, paying Drummond $28 million a year.
Right, right. And you know what? We're going to do – it's a good thing neither of us are journalists because we're going to do some bad journalism here. But our friends at Locked On Cavs did report – or I guess report, or they're trying to get the audio from a podcast that's behind a paywall. So aggregating podcasts can always be a little tricky. But essentially, Drummond kind of opened up in an interview saying, reportedly said that he's considering an opt-out, which to me is a little intriguing. Because one, that kind of opens the door to the fresh start angle with Wiseman, which if I had to pick a route that I'd prefer, it would be that one. Not necessarily Wiseman. Like I still personally would prefer Okongwu to him, but I'm fine with either of them. But the fresh start angle is something that I do find intriguing. The thing that kind of has me curious though, is if it is in fact that he is planning to test free agency, I kind of wonder with the kind of shortage of teams that are on the market, it may be possible that the Cavs, after having extension talks with him, said, okay, we're going to try our best to accommodate you here with the sign and trade. You, if you don't want to be here, that's what we'll do, which kind of like, I'm waiting for this to be reported a little more widely. I'll believe it when I see it. It's hard for me to believe that he turned down this money, but if that's something that the Cavs are exploring, I think that's a smart idea.
Yeah, do you know when his – I'm putting you on the spot. Do you know when his opt-in date is?
So I believe it's a day before the NBA draft. I think that's when it got moved to.
Got it. So, yeah, I don't know. It's
either a day before or day after. I can't remember. It might actually be a day after.
It does feel like some weird and unnecessary posturing, doesn't it? Like, it's like – I thought that we had all kind of collectively agreed that he was going to opt in – and then the Cavs were going to decide whether they wanted to sign him long-term or not. And yeah, he was either going to get the bag or the Cavs weren't going to offer it and he would go try to get it elsewhere. Like, I thought that's what we all agreed on. So I don't understand what where the posturing is coming from.
Yeah, that's the strange thing. There isn't necessarily a bargaining angle with me. And like the thing that intrigues me with Drummond, or at least the way that I could see it playing out where I'd be okay with him staying, is if it was a reality where his agent, who is the same agent that represents Kevin Love, says, all right, we're going to give this an honest shot. Kevin and Andre are in for actually giving an honest effort this season, and we'll run it back. In that scenario, I'm okay with it because I don't necessarily think they're going to raise the floor to a degree where it really hoops your lotto odds. We're still going to be a team that relies.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Hoops?
Yeah.
Is that a term?
That might be a Canadian thing. I don't know.
What does that mean?
When something's busted, you say it's hooped.
I've heard of a hoopty, like a shitty car.
A hoopty?
Yeah, isn't that it? I think that's a shitty car.
Okay, well, hooped, like, if my car exploded, I'd say that thing's hooped. If I see someone that looks like they have done and will do nothing with their life, I may describe them as hooped, that there's no hope for them. So that's an expression I use.
Is there a root word?
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea where that comes from, man.
Okay, I've got Kane and Ty in the Periscope chat confirming that hoopty is a term.
Hoopty is a term, but hooped isn't.
I have never heard of hooped. I think that is pure canada. Can we need to get Everly on here soon.
We really do.
Just to get you a little Canadian backup.
Long story short, you're going to have the young guys initiating and closing a lot of games. And even though the goal is going to be creating accountability and getting those guys to develop good habits, that's still likely going to keep you with pretty high lottery odds. So I'm okay with it from that standpoint. But overall, like I still kind of favor that fresh start, but that would be a scenario where if both of them are in to give this an honest shot, I'm okay with running it back just because I want to see what 1 year of this team is like. I want to see what the growth of the young guys is before we start making decisions like trade and evaluating how we're going to build around the existing pieces.
Yeah, I think that's fine too. And either way, I don't really care because, again, it's kind of been my expectation is that we're going to start the year with Love and Drummond at the 4 and 5. And, you know, Tristan is going to go walk. As he enters free agency, and that's just going to be the way it is. So honestly, whether you draft a Wiseman or an Okongwu here doesn't much affect next year's outcome to me as much as it, you know, sort of, I don't know, it changes some expectations and it makes trades easier. Because like the thing is, if Tristan walks and Drummond opts in and there is no trade there, you know, there's all of a sudden they go from 30 centers on the roster to none.
No love for Dean Wade, eh?
Not well. He's a power forward, true and true.
Yeah, true. Now, man, that's where I was going to go. The one interesting wrinkle though with an opt out would be, okay, so let's say they accommodate Drummond, they find a sign and trade, or he just like flat out leaves. So like maybe he does decide to leave and signs with Charlotte. I just going to wild guess. I don't think he's going to go back to Detroit. They're one of the other teams with cap space. But let's say he's gone. I think in that scenario, it's almost likely that you see Tristan Thompson sign at least a 1-year deal with Cleveland, because there has been some appetite for that in the past. And even if it is, let's say it's 1 year with Wiseman and or Okongwu, and Tristan's kind of the vet there, that's absolutely a situation I could
see. To be clear, you're saying that's if Drummond is shipped out of town, not all three, right?
Right. No, I'm saying if Drummond does decide to opt out, or it's a sign and trade, something like that, I think in the event that that does occur, what you're going to see is Tristan come back. I think that that's almost a likely domino effect in that scenario. I still think it's super unlikely, just to be clear. I don't really see any chance of Drummond not opting in. I think the most likely thing is not an extension, not an opt-out, but just an opt-in for one more year, and they'll evaluate from there.
The one thing with Tristan, as I yawn through this sentence.
Yeah. Exciting, right? Like that's what you're going to say?
No, the one thing about Tristan is that he is coming off that monster deal, and maybe he's of the mindset, I want to get one more big deal, mm-hmm. or at least one more year of good pay. But he might go the other way, where he's like, okay, Cavs aren't really going anywhere. My replacement center has been traded for. Like, they're going to ultimately give Drummond those minutes.
Yeah.
And if they want to draft a center, that's even more cement. I wonder if he is at the stage of his career where he's more okay taking a smaller deal to be on a contender, taking an exception deal to go play on a contender, because, you know,
I mean, suddenly these kids
are getting old.
I can see it. I just think the more likely thing would be a 1-year deal, because this market is going to be cold. It doesn't have a lot of teams, and not a lot of teams that want to impact their flexibility. So I could see a 1-year deal and kind of say, okay, well, I'm not obviously not going to be in the first tier of free agents, probably not going to be in the second, but I'll have a good market in the third tier there when some teams strike out. I mean, we don't know how it's going to play out, but that does seem like something that could make some sense, just because there has been an expression of interest from Tristan and his camp to staying in Cleveland, at least for another season.
And at least publicly, whether that's posturing or not, I don't know. But yeah. I do think the other thing that matters here is COVID-related concerns, is the salary cap might drop. Maybe some of these contenders don't have as much money to throw at a guy like Tristan, and he'd rather just stick around with the second richest owner in the NBA, mm-hmm. Dan Gilbert, I think, is what the reporting is. So I don't know. I mean, we still don't really know what the implications are there. With regards to how the salary cap's going to affect all this prospective player movement and the Cavs' ability to trade these albatross contracts. Maybe it's harder, maybe it's easier. We really still don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, there's still a lot of unknowns. I'm just happy that one of the unknowns kind of on our list here is going to be resolved next week with the draft lottery, because I do think that we're going to have some ability based on where it is to figure out, is this going to be Ball? Is it going to be Wiseman? Or is it going to be Okor? Because I feel like those are the three most likely guys. Like, I actually do feel there's a possibility that they would take Okoro over Edwards, just because an old friend of the podcast, Evan Demerol, did mention that at least one person in the front office, and Fedor had mentioned this as well, but has Edwards as the top guy in the draft. But it does seem like there's a lot of momentum building behind this idea that Okoro can be kind of the Jaylen Brown type guy in this draft.
Yeah, I just wish he could shoot. I don't know, man. I still don't get it. I still do not get this. Like, no one has yet given me a sufficient explanation for why this guy is a better prospect than someone like Vassell, who does all the stuff that Okoro does, except isn't an absolutely terrible shooter, you know?
Right. Like, and I we've talked about this before, but I think what it really comes down to is Okoro's ability to get where he wants on the floor is a little of a
higher. I think it's an absolute trebuchet.
But his ability to get where he wants on the floor gives you hope. It kind of projects, it allows for more upside when you're looking at what that player can become. Where Vassell, I think you're looking at a very, very, very high level 3-and-D guy, quality starter, but maybe has some limitations with what he can actually do creating. Okoro's managed to be at least an efficient finisher in college, partly because of his ability to get where he wants on the floor. And credit to the people that hype up LaMelo Ball and believe in him. I think outside of the passing, the one thing that really kind of holds water for me is the fact that he is able to get anywhere he wants to on the floor. And I've seen mention about one of the big needs for the Cavs is getting three-point shooting and bringing in three-point shooters. But I actually do feel like they have a lot of guys that can shoot. The issue is they don't have a lot of guys that can manipulate the defense, get it to collapse, and create open shots for guys. We have guys that shoot a good percentage, but we don't generate open looks, and we don't generate a high volume of attempts. So I understand the desire to get someone in that's actually going to get where he wants to on the floor and manipulate the defense in that way.
I don't know, man. When I watch, you know, when I do watch his highlights, even the positive ones like you're seeing on the Periscope stream, my take just continues to be, you know, he looks like a college wing, like, you know, like a guy who's a good athlete. And like, I don't see any great shakes handle. I see a guy who mostly when he does drive, he's attacking in transition, which you can do in college or off of someone else's work where the defense was already destabilized. I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to go for someone, like if you're going to take someone in the top five for this profile, you might as well go for the kind of the rangier prospect like Denny, who's at least, you know, 6'8", 6'9"
Yeah.
And has a little bit of playmaking juice. Like, I don't know. I just.
Yeah. Like I don't.
Again,
feel
I just
like
Vassell better.
I've, you know what? I understand that because, like, I think I'd be able to sell myself on the upside of Okoro a little easier. But, overall, I do agree with you that the most likely thing is you probably aren't going to find a Jaylen Brown in this draft. You're just not going to have someone that kind of elevates in that way. And for that reason, like, Vassell would be a guy that just makes so much sense on this roster. Like, it doesn't matter what combination of the two guards you put together. Or a combination of three guards, I should say. He fits with all of them. As he bulks up, he's probably going to be able to play some four as well in small ball lineups. I could see that. So I'm with you. So you're kind of hoping for six then, because six might be
You know what I'm hoping for, Justin, really, is like a one, two, or three on a trade down where you can maybe pick up six and six or eight or something like that, and pick up an extra first down the line or something like that, or a young prospect, or get off some salary or whatever it is. I don't care what it is, but just feels like if they can find a trade down, they should be geeked about it. You just got to hope that someone else is in love with an Edwards. I don't really see why you would fall in love with an Edwards, really, unless you see some latent, like, sucked at basketball in college, but now will get better, like in the Paul George range or something. But I don't know. It just doesn't, those guys at the top don't really make sense to me in terms of really believing them as top end prospects. So yeah, I guess ultimately where I do want to land is that middle range, that four, that five, where you can justify falling in love with a role player and taking him because you love him. even if he might not end up being a star. Though, I mean, history mostly doesn't like the way we're talking, Justin.
No, we're
drafting role players at five has a history of not being great. So maybe we're stupid. I don't know.
We're probably stupid.
Well, we are stupid.
At the very least, we are certainly cowards. And I think it's important to acknowledge that. No matter what, though, I mean, the lottery is going to be interesting on Thursday. But while Thursday's exciting, Carter, do you know what day I'm really excited for?
I'll bet it's not Mondays.
Sunday. Oh, Sundays are coming back with the NFL, with NFLSundayTicket.tv. You can stream every live, out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices, plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. With Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy channels, you'll never miss your favorite teams and your favorite players. No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
Man, Justin, that's a hell of a deal. And you know where else you can find great deals?
Where can I find them, Carter?
DealDash.com. It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never, ever, ever believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. And not hoopties, Justin.
No.
Cars.
I like when... I like that you said oxen the first time. They might have oxen. It's very possible.
Shush. Here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. Seems impossible. And that's not in the copy. I just still think that seems impossible. The kicker is the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer or the item is yours. If you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign up on top of their other discounts. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code CHASE. Yeah, we have our own promo code. Or DealDash.fm/CHASE. That's DealDash.fm/CHASE. I really ran out of breath on that one.
Carter, that is absolutely a hell of a deal. Know what else is a hell of a deal? The proposed trade interest that Chris Fedor had mentioned around Ben Simmons and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Obviously, so the first thing that jumped out to me was the connection the Cavs organization has with Clutch. They have a good working relationship with Rich, obviously represent two of their clients. And part of me was wondering, okay, while I do believe the Cavs could put together a good offer, I do not believe that the Cavs would be able to put the best offer if a top 20 player, which is what Ben Simmons is, with 4 years left on his deal, came available on the market. So part of me is wondering if this story was designed to get some trade buzz out there, to get his name out on the market and really jumpstart the conversation, because things are not going great in Philly.
No, Chase Stopera, I don't know how to say it on Periscope, just referenced that... you know, maybe this isn't a trade that the Cavs get in for Simmons, but help facilitate. I think that makes a lot of sense too.
Absolutely. That would make a lot of sense. I mean, you know what? I got to give Philly just a little bit of credit. I've given them a lot of shit for putting all their money into a power forward and center when their best players play at that position, ideally. But apparently when they both go down, they had the foresight. They knew it was coming. So Horford and Tobias Harris can just slide right on over. I do think it's interesting. The most noteworthy thing from that piece, though, was in any trade conversations, apparently, reportedly, the piece they would hold on to the tightest would be Kevin Porter Jr., which I guess isn't necessarily a surprise. We've heard basically since he got to training camp was that the Cavs had been blown away by him. I know he's been at the facilities working out, and they continue to be very happy with what they're seeing from him. But from a trade asset standpoint, you'd have to think the piece that the Cavs have with the most value would be Sexton. And if you're talking about a trade for someone like Ben Simmons, I think it would take Sexton, Kevin Porter Jr., take future picks. It would take a lot for the Cavs to actually come up with the top offer.
Which is why, like, I know I rolled my eyes at you for doing this with the Giannis proposals that on Twitter that were ridiculous. But like, this is exactly why it doesn't make any sense. Like, what's the point of a trade like this if you're the Cavs? To start at zero with Ben Simmons is like, okay, like, I guess that's a good starting point, but you know, it's not, you know, like, and conceivably, yeah, they're starting at zero without Ben Simmons right now, and that stinks. But the biggest difference is it's not like Simmons is in the first or second year of his career anymore, where you have roster control for really the first 9 years of a guy's career, where you get the 4 years in the rookie deal and then a 5 year max off of restricted free agency. Let's say seven in case they would decide to pull a power play and get it and force their way out. But you don't have that with Simmons. And if he's not happy and you don't put a team around him, which will be hard if you have to send out picks on top of your entire young core, you know, it's like, you know, what are you really doing here all of a sudden with a guy like that? And it doesn't really make sense. And I do agree that, you know, I think if Kobe Altman has done one thing smartly, it's that he does favors for agents when it is of low risk to the Cavs. You know, you think about the Patrick McCaw signing. You know, I think he has a tendency.
Even how they handled McKinney and all those other contracts, it's kind of gone in that way.
Yeah, for sure. So to that extent, like, I think the idea of him doing Rich Paul a favor by, you know, floating some of these, like, oh, we'd be really interested, like, to kind of start those machinations, like, I don't really see any downside. It's not like Kevin Porter Jr. is going to call Altman furious that his name was mentioned and maybe kind of almost not really rumors. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, yeah.
To be clear, he should be absolutely flattered that he's the one untouchable piece. Well, not untouchable, but
yeah, that's the most valuable. Yeah, Fedor's line for a minute, though. I subscribe to his text service, and he often references that the team believes in him at that level. So I don't know. I just don't think the Cavs are in trading for stars mode. You know, like, that just seems a little silly.
Ben Simmons is somebody that if he was on his rookie contract, if we were talking about trading for this guy coming out of the NBA draft, he is somebody that I would give up a shit ton for. But you'd have to, as you mentioned, what would be left after a Ben Simmons trade is a grumpy Ben Simmons playing with nothing for the remaining 4 years of his contract, which he'd likely try to force his way out, right? I don't really see any incentive for him to play. And honestly, it'd be a little sad. I just don't see I just don't see it really coming to fruition there at all. It's certainly interesting. I think it's good for the Cavs to be out there to examine what the trade markets are. They're likely going to have the opportunity to explore that with whatever pick they get. It's going to be high enough that there might be some interest. Obviously, you're still looking for possible landing spots for Kevin Love. You might be looking for a sign and trade spot for Andre Drummond. So keeping your name in conversations is obviously a positive. The thing that I find interesting, so if we're moving on from the Ben Simmons part of this to Kevin Porter Jr. and kind of expectations for next year, we had an interesting conversation in the Discord. I wish, at the top of my head, I'm drawing a blank on who made this comment, but we were talking about best case scenarios for the young players. And even though we eventually agreed, the starting off point was, well, wouldn't the best case scenario for Sexton be somebody that comes off the bench, that he would accept his role in that way? And to me, I immediately pushed back on that, because what I've done in the past has been, the Cavs have identified Kevin Porter Jr. as the best player or the prospect they believe in as kind of a cornerstone piece. And the chemistry between him and Garland and the actual results, like after the Clarkson trade, they were a net positive in their minutes together without Sexton. They've been good. And that's kind of been one of the things that was pushed forward by the organization as well, that they kind of view that as the backcourt of the future. And then what happened after that was Sexton has played at a level that has been a surprise to me. It's been a surprise to the organization. It's been when we talked to Dufour and Bartnow, like they mentioned that's the guy that people need to talk about a little more. Vicini said that he was very high on him. At this point, like, I'm very excited to see what Colin Sexton can do next year, because there is absolutely no reason yet to cap what his ceiling can be for fit concerns. Like, I think if you're talking best case scenario, those three learn how to play together next season and those minutes are more productive.
I don't know. I'm not even there to, I'm still having a hard time like fitting it in, because we still need to figure out if Darius Garland is a player.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess, you know, if I have a challenge for Sexton next year, it's that I want him to be good in the first half of the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that, like, I know that sounds silly, but like, there's just so much feasting once everyone kind of settles in.
I'm going to push back,
but
just a hair.
But let me get there.
Okay.
But I do think his progress has appeared to be legitimate in terms of the steps that he's taken from the middle of year one and the middle of year two. Middle of year one was about cleaning up his shot chart and understanding that mid-rangers just couldn't be his life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the jump in year two was, in my opinion, getting to the line and the three ball actually, like, fixing itself.
Right. So if I'm just going to push back a little bit here.
After I already cut your pushback legs out from under you.
No, I keep pushing, man. It's what I do. One thing to note. Yes, in his rookie season, he was very, very bad up to the All-Star break, and then he was good. This season, I mean, the Cavs only played 65 games. The last 46 of those games were when he was averaging 23 points per game, over three assists, shooting like 49, 43, 86, I believe. Like, that is more than half the season. Like, that is a substantial amount of games. And my feeling is, if he's able to sustain that or build off of that performance, like, it's very exciting to see. Like, when you see the videos, he's noticeably stronger. Like, this guy is an absolute workhorse and continues to work on his game. And let's say him and Kevin Porter Jr. are not a good fit together. Let's say that's a trend that continues. I wouldn't bank on it, because advanced numbers and all that lineup data when players are very young can swing very, very dramatically. You see a lot of growth year to year. I wouldn't project too much. We'll kind of see what the results are there. But let's say that they have issues creating together. I think Sexton's if he continues on this path, his scoring is impressive enough and important enough that you start to look for playmaking at other positions. Maybe that is a big wing. Maybe that is a LaMelo Ball. Maybe that's a supplementary playmaking from a guy like Denny or Cade Cunningham the following draft. I just think that he is playing his way into a space that if he continues this, you're going to have to find a way to get him into the starting lineup and make it work. Because right now, I just have confidence in him that whatever his ceiling is, that guy's going to reach it.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thing, you know? Like, I mean, I think if you're talking about the things that have to happen to make this work in the long term for Sexton, it's probably that KPJ becomes a much better playmaker.
That would be huge. Yeah.
And I think he's shown some signs of that, even though, you know, this is where we dip into the dangerous fan projections because the numbers don't really support it. But I think we both saw him able to make some of those smart floor reading passes. But it has to be a situation where, you know, kind of, this is a really shoddy example, so forgive me, but kind of has to be like Toronto, where you have four or five plus passers on the floor. To help kind of supplement him, because he's just, I just don't see playmaking as a thing he's ever going to be good at.
Right. And that was something that Fedor had mentioned as well, was that the Cavs don't view him as a point guard. He doesn't view himself as a point guard. Like, you might see those assists get to like that 3-4 range.
If he's in the 4.5, I think I'm happy.
I'm
moving the ball appropriately, but I just don't think he's a 7-8 assist guy. And I don't think that's slanderous at all, because I don't think that means I don't like him.
Right. And I think some of that's going to come with maturity. Like, if you look the last 2 months of the season, that's when he was around 3.5-4 assists. If he can continue that year, or you have some modest growth from that, and it's all of a sudden 4-4.5, and Garland averaged over, I think it was just over 5 assists the last 2 months of the season there. If you have some modest growth from him where he's confident, all of a sudden you're getting up to, let's say, 6 and 7 assists, all of a sudden those lineups can work in however many minutes they play together. Because I think we always think of things in terms of who's going to start together. Reality is these guys are all going to play at least 14, 15 minutes a game together, no matter what the combination is. So they all have to learn how to play with one another. And I think Toronto is a very smart example to bring up, because we know Sexton's talked about the film he studies is Kyle Lowry and Van Vliet together. And that is an elite defensive team. And they are starting two guards that are 5'11 together.
Like, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is the only way this really works in the long term, especially with regards to Garland, is to it just means that
at least not be negative defense.
No, he has to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that has to be with Garland specifically. I think if they go a different direction and they do kind of run a Sexton KPJ big defender, like a Vassal.
Yeah,
or an Okoro, then and maybe this is the case for Okoro. He's got a little better with the ball in his hands as a playmaker and additional creator. But like, I don't think that this possibly can work at a high level unless he gets to a good defender playing next to Garland, because he's always going to be giving up size, and he's at least going to have to be a rugged on-ball defender.
I agree. That's absolutely the most important thing. If he becomes a good defender and capitalizes on what he can do, and this is actually where we can fight the Locked On Cavs reporting. They called his wingspan 6'6". It was 6'7.5" at the combine. So we know it's at least that. So they were trying to sell him short. We give nothing but the truth here at the Chase Down Podcast. But if he can make the most of that, that's where you really see him elevate himself to the next level. But we talked about this last week, the comparison with Donovan Mitchell at the same age, to two guys that are the exact same height, same kind of stature and everything. I think that is something that when you look around the league, any other team would really be celebrating a player like that doing that so far. And I just think that we need to kind of put a little more stock into it, enjoy it a little more. We can figure out team winning and whatnot in a year or two. We can start making adjustments based on that. But right
Garland
now,
is actually, it's funny, we talk about what Sexton needs to do, but Garland actually defines so much of this.
Oh, I mean, I agree with that.
Because if Garland becomes a plus player, mm-hmm. then we have to start figuring some stuff out. But honestly, until there's another, like until someone else takes a leap,
mm-hmm.
it's almost not that, like, Sexton's like long-term fit doesn't actually matter.
It's pointless to discuss because someone else actually has to earn that spot. Because
justify
right now,
making it hard.
Right, exactly. Because right now, Sexton is the only young guy that has really earned a spot where you say, all right, this guy 100% has earned a spot as someone that's going to matter for this team. So I completely agree with that. And I think the best thing that can happen for next season, and all indications are this is what the Cavs want to do, is create an environment where these guys are competing for minutes. They're competing for roles. They all seem to get along. And one of the biggest things to me, I know people will roll their eyes at this, but like the whole gets us part of this is something that matters to me. Like I just want a team that's fun. That wants to be in Cleveland, that's easy to root for. Sexton wants to be there. Garland's already got a Cleveland tattoo. Kevin Porter Jr. seems happy and has a good relationship with the staff and his teammates. Like, I just want this to be an environment where these guys are pushing each other. Iron sharpens iron. And
I'm going to replace your camera with the blowing smoke emoji.
You know what? It is what it is. Like, if you can't be optimistic in times like this, like, it's just a different fan experience than the one I like, because this is what it's about. It doesn't actually cost us anything to be optimistic. I don't think what I'm seeing is outside of the realm of possibilities. Like, I don't think it's completely outlandish. But I'm always going to, in the spectrum of outcomes, I'm not going to be at the extreme positive, but I'm at least going to be on the positive side of the scale there.
That's fair. And I'm happy that you are, you know, the optimist that we all know and love, Justin.
Thank you, Carter. You know what? I just put it together. I think that's why I want a big in this draft, because, yeah, there's the blowing smoke emoji. Yes, absolutely, yes. I'm very sorry for everyone that's just listening to the podcast. I'm pretty sure you guys have probably bailed by this time anyways, but Carter on the Periscope has given me the blowing smoke emoji, which I'm all about. But I was going to say my revelation is, I think why I want a big in this draft is I want just at least one more year where Garland has now had an offseason, Kevin Porter Jr.'s had an offseason, Sexton's had an offseason. I want to give those three just one year to try to figure things out and see what they can do before I start, okay, we need to get another guard. We need to find playmaking in another area. I just, let's give it one shot. That's what I want from this draft lottery.
Kobe, if you had one shot, one opportunity.
the convid got me. God damn. All right. Well,
take us home, Justin.
Yeah. I'm going to go into isolation. I will see you guys. Carter and I will see you guys on Thursday next week. Really excited. We're going to have Ty Windisch on the podcast live with us. Live at the lotto. We're going to be talking about the playoffs that will have started at that point. Crazy that we're already getting there. I actually thought we were going to touch on that today, but we had a lot of Cavs.
Too much Cavs, baby.
Dude, look, I love us. It. You doubted me. I told you we would have Cavs things to talk about before the lottery, because they always provide. But yes, we have Ty on. We're going to discuss what's going on in the bubble. We're going to discuss the playoffs. He's going to laugh at us when we react to the lottery. Hopefully you guys do too. So check us out on Periscope. Just find me at Cavs Anada on Twitter. We broadcast from there. If you want to support the podcast, the best way you can do so is by leaving a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. Shout out to our sponsors, Sunday Ticket. We got Deal Dash, Bet Online. Check out Greg Olson's podcast on Blue Wire as well. We got four sponsors today. That is just absolutely crazy. Thank you guys so much for your support. Shout out to the cast. Shout out to Carter. Shout out to Ty coming on next week. I'm excited. So we'll talk to you next week. And until next time, go Cats. What's up, guys? I am back, just like pro sports. We got a bonus ad read here for our exclusive partners at Bet Online. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, Bet Online. Check out all the odds, futures, and prop bets, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champion Robert Horry. See what they have to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.